MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Strange News Daily is a production of iHeartMedia.
In a world full of bizarre events, unsolved mysteries, and a billion stories from all corners of the globe, some news gets lost in the shuffle. This is your gateway to the stories on the fringe of the mainstream map. These are your dispatches in the dark. I'm Ben Bolin, and this is the Strange News Daily. Our first story today. Over recent decades, many experts have warned about the dangers of overpopulation, but new research says that we may be running into the opposite sort of problem in coming years. The world just may be set for a massive decline in population due to a global crash in childbirth. Falling fertility rates mean that nearly every country on the planet could have shrinking populations by the end of this century. Of these countries, 23, including Spain and Japan, are expected to see their populations decrease by half in 2100. Countries will also age dramatically, with as many people turning 80 as there are being born. So what's going on here? The fertility rate, by which we mean the average number of children a woman gives birth to, is falling. If that number falls below about 2.1, then the size of a population also begins to fall. Back in 1950, women were having an average of 4.7 children in their lifetime. Researchers at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation found that the global fertility rate has dropped to 2.4 in 2017, and their study, which was recently published in The Lancet, projects this trend will continue, with the fertility rate falling to below 1.7 by 2100. As a result of this, the researchers expect the number of people on the planet to peak somewhere at 9.7 billion people around 2064, and then fall down to 8.8 billion by the end of this century. One of the researchers behind the study, Professor Christopher Murray, says that's a pretty big thing. Most of the world is transitioning into natural population decline. Professor Murray continues, saying, "I think it's incredibly hard to think this through and recognize how big a thing this is. It's extraordinary. We'll have to reorganize societies." So why are these fertility rates falling? Well, it has nothing to do with sperm counts, for instance, or other biological factors that might immediately come to mind when we discuss fertility. Instead, the researchers believe this decline is being driven by more women in education and work, as well as greater access to contraception. They argue that these factors and others combine, leading to women choosing to have fewer children in general. So, in many ways, these falling fertility rates are a success story. The countries that will be most affected include Japan and Italy. Japan's population is projected to fall from a peak of 128 million in 2017 to less than 53 million by 2100. Italy is going to see an equally dramatic crash from 61 million to 28 million across the same span of time. Professor Murray describes this as jaw-dropping. So what about the most populous nation in the world, China? The population of China is expected to peak at 1.4 billion in 4 years before dropping to nearly half that, to 732 million by 2100. India, then, will become the most populous nation. However, this will definitely be a global issue. And at first glance, we might think this is all pretty great news, especially for the environment. A smaller population will result in less pollution and fewer instances of deforestation. Professor Murray says this would be true except for that inverted age structure. There are going to be uniformly negative consequences in every nation across the world when there are more old people than young people. Who will pay tax in a massively aged world? Who will pay for the healthcare needs of the elderly? Who will look after elderly populations? Will people still be able to retire? These are questions science doesn't have solid answers for just yet. Professor Ibrahim Aboubakar of the University College of London says, "To be successful, we need a fundamental rethink of global politics. The distribution of working age populations will be crucial to whether humanity prospers or withers." Our second story today. Have you, like millions of other people across the planet, ever used Airbnb? If so, you might still be on their mailing list, and you may have even received a strange message from the company. After COVID-19 hit, it obliterated the revenues of Airbnb across the planet, and Airbnb started asking guests to chip in by sending what they call kindness cards. These kindness cards could also include cash donations to former hosts. These hosts have seen billions of dollars in revenue vanish over the past few months as travel in general has ground to a halt due to the coronavirus pandemic. This kindness cards approach seems to be another effort to assuage the financial concerns of hosts. And this time, they're just soliciting contributions from former guests at Airbnb locations. Airbnb says that 100% of the proceeds from these cards go directly to the host. In their statement, they describe the kindness cards this way, saying, "In the spirit of rekindling connections, we developed a new feature that allows guests to send virtual cards with messages of support and encouragement to hosts who provided excellent hospitality. If they wish, guests have the option to add a voluntary financial contribution." However well-intentioned this strategy may seem, it didn't have the effect that Airbnb was hoping for. People on social media, from Facebook to Twitter to Instagram, harshly criticized Airbnb, pointing out that they are also trying to save money amid the pandemic, and they asked why it should be their responsibility to support Airbnb hosts. The hosts, for their part, have directed their anger at Airbnb. They say the company implemented cancellation policies at the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, and that these policies cost them even more money. For their part, Airbnb said back in March that it would spend $250 million to reimburse guests for host cancellations that were related to coronavirus shutdowns. This financial situation is especially dangerous for what are known as mega hosts. Mega hosts own multiple properties that they put on the Airbnb service. Some mega hosts have bought up dozens of properties, and they've built essentially short-term rental empires that become their main source of income. According to an analytics site called AirDNA, about one-third of Airbnb properties are owned by hosts who manage at least 25 separate properties. We currently have no report on how many donations are actually coming through the kindness card option here. Airbnb spokespeople have not immediately responded to requests for comments. Our third story today takes place in Iran and on the internet, where a massive online protest has caught global attention as Iranians from all walks of life protest the country's recent announcement that it will uphold the death sentences of three young men who joined anti-government protests earlier in November 2019. Iran is no stranger to executions. Just last year, the country put 251 people to death, more than any country other than China. In recent weeks, many Iranians have been rattled and shaken by a series of executions based on what they see as murky charges. Executions for anything from drinking alcohol to political activism to spying for foreign intelligence agencies like the CIA. This marks a rare moment of solidarity in the country. Iranians of varying political views are gathering around this single issue. Human rights activists say it suggests that Iranians are seeking new ways to be heard because the government has brutally crushed street protests and other forms of traditional dissent. Earlier this week, the most tweeted hashtag within the country was #don'texecute in Persian. Iranians all over the world joined this campaign. The hashtag trended globally with nearly 4.5 million tweets. Amir Rashidi, a digital researcher who focuses on online security, says, "I've never seen a hashtag with this level of participation from Iranians everywhere." The call to end executions also generated tens of thousands of posts on other social media platforms that are popular in the country. Think of things like Telegram or Instagram. The three men who are the subject of the protest are Amir Hossein Muradi, Saeed Tamjidi, and Mohammed Rajabi. These men, all in their 20s, were part of a nationwide protest in November. People took to the streets protesting hikes in gasoline prices. According to rights organizations, Iranian security forces killed at least 500 protesters. 7,000 other people were arrested. These three men were charged with participation in vandalism and arson with the intent to confront and engage in war with the Islamic Republic of Iran. The men's lawyers wrote an open letter saying that their clients had been forced to confess under aberrant conditions, a phrase which could imply torture. The Supreme Court turned down an appeal and upheld the death sentences earlier this week. As the protests picked up steam, politicians took notice. Former Vice President Mohammed Ali Abtahi, a cleric, warned in a tweet that the government should not be stubborn in the face of such strong public opinion. Many Iranians see a precedent here, saying that the government is making an example of these three men to intimidate the public and to preempt any future uprisings amid the widespread discontent over the failing economy and the authorities' handling of the coronavirus pandemic. Roya Buromand, the executive director of the Washington-based Abdurrahman Buromand Center, which advocates for increased human rights in Iran, says that the society is boiling. So they, meaning the Iranian government, are increasing the number of executions. The message, Buromand concludes, was, "Remember, we can kill." That's all for now. We've been asking you to chime in with suggestions for stories you think your fellow listeners might enjoy, to hit us with your best or worst jokes, as well as your personal experience with COVID-19, the ongoing protests, or anything else that's happening in your neck of the global woods. Let us know. Tag #StrangeDaily on Twitter or reach out to me directly. I'm @BenBolinHSW on Twitter or @BenBolin on Instagram. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Dylan Fagan, our research associate, Sam Teagarden, and, most importantly, thanks to you. I'm Ben Bolin. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, stay strange.
NBC MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.